The Mike North Advantage is brought to you by the Vdoliak Law Group, beating insurance companies since 1963, and BetChicago.com, your source for Chicago and sports betting news.
This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
This is the National Football League. You got a bunch of owners who inherit the teams, who are members of the Lucky Sperm Club, who are trying to negotiate in 2018 high-tech type of agents. And I just think Ted Phillips and Ryan Pace are overmatched. And I think it's bad for the whole football team. And it's a cloud that hangs over the head of the Bears and Matt Nagy and what they want to do. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. The people that really scare me, the people that can walk in those electric carts. And they go to the slot machine and sit on them. And then they forget that they're supposed to be, you know, crippled from the waist down. Have a bear standing with a towel in his hands, rubbing his crotch. Bear ball washer. What you got to really try to do is money manage and only bet one or two games on a Sunday. That's what we'll be doing on Bear Barroom.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right, the Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and we've got quite the show for you today. We're going to talk about the Chicago Bears and New England Patriots. We'll get Mike's thoughts on that. We'll talk a little bit about LeBron James now wearing that ugly yellow Lakers jersey. We'll also talk about those Red Sox. They're into their 14th World Series, I think it is. We'll get Mike's picks, of course, and we'll start off by asking Mike how he spent the week after having his first losing week of the season, 1-3. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Aldo. I'll tell you what, I got it out of the way finally. It almost became too much of a burden for me. It became the weight around my neck. I didn't have the wind beneath my wings. My wings were getting tired from flying at such an altitude that, you know what? I got to tell you something. Going 6-8-1, if that's my bad week, and going, of course, 0-1 with the play, top play, and 1-3 with my overall plays for Bear Barroom, to go a combined 51-36-6 now for the season, 15 over .500, 4-1-1 on top plays, and what, by the way, you see the Barroom picks and the Chicago Sun Times picks are the same, and for best bets 19-4-1. If that's rough or tough, I'll take it. And I got to be honest with you, Mark Podash of the Chicago Sun-Times has been outstanding, gave us some good coverage last week, mm-hmm. and everything. And he goes, Mike, it was a tough week, but it happens. Well, I know that. And you know what? Mark took good care of me. And I know exactly what he's talking about because you got three handicappers in the Sun-Times that all went 0-1 last week in their top plays. That's Mark Silverman, Mark Podash, and myself. And you know what? I went 6-8-1 where Sylvie went 5-9-1, and Podash went 4-10-1. I would say it was a public week, and I survived it. And those guys, even Sylvie says to me last night on Twitter, he says, you know, fade me. No. He's one of the best handicappers in the business, believe me when I tell you this. And he'll bounce back this week. But sometimes, you know, these things happen.
It does. And I got to tell you, you've got to – every week you go to bed with that stress of, did I make the right pick and so forth? That has had to be eating you up, all that pressure. I mean, the pressure starts again this week, but isn't it almost like a burden lifted off your shoulders that you got that one bad week out of the way? Hopefully it's just one, but...
if it's a bad week, see, you know what? Here's the difference, though. Last year I had a bad week. I was 1-15. That's not a bad week. That's the Hindenburg. That's the roller coaster flying off the tracks at Riverview into the river, okay? While everybody's screaming what a great ride it was, okay? It's going to happen, you know? But I will tell you this. I went golfing yesterday, and I shot 105. I should played an 18-hole course right here where I live. You know what? You know the place. Oh. And I looked at it as a blessing. It was, I had shot 110. But you know what helped me? The rough. Now, this was a rough week. Mark Spadia says it was a tough week. They weren't bad weeks for us. Because what happens with the rough, and people underestimate rough. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you how. I could have gone into the sand trap once yesterday. And I could have gone into a lake yesterday. You know what stopped me? The rough.
The rough. Good old rough.
Sometimes the rough helps. It's not always a hindrance. Now, once you land in it, you're mad. You go, oh, I'm in the rough. But you got to look what was behind the rough that stopped you. Mm-hmm. So if 6-8-1 is my bad week or rough week, everybody, we're 19-4-1 on Barroom. You've made a ton of money already. It's only going to get better because I'm like a closer in baseball. I'm like the great closer in baseball. In other words, if I get hit for a particular game, I forgot about it 2 days later. The only thing I was disappointed in is we got a lot of good publicity, and I wanted to keep that thing running. But I had been warning Aldo for 3 to 4 weeks. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And no system in the world can do something about that for that 1 or 2 or 3 times a year that I have a losing record.
Guess what, Mike?
God, am I good today.
Guess what? I am taking your advice on whatever you're picking this week, and I'm betting because you got that.
You're not doing anything.
I am.
You know, I'm so sick and tired of it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I still see your wardrobe. It's the same. If you'd been going with me, you'd have a couple new pairs of Levi's.
They're laying the concrete right now in the driveway. I swear, a stack of Bibles.
That you bought on your own money.
That's right. Well, I haven't paid them
you
yet.
You bought it with my money and said, thanks, Mike. Maybe put it into cement. Thanks, Mike. But no.
I'm going to do it this week. I swear to you.
Sure you are.
We're going to hear those picks in about 30 minutes, but I tell you, if you had a bad week last week, what about the Arizona Cardinals last night? Losers 45-10, and Von Miller predicted that it was going to happen because this is what he said earlier in the week.
Got a quick game on Thursday, close week. We've been preaching our best, and it starts with me. I'm going to give them my best this week. My teammates going to be right there with me.
Is it a must-win?
I wouldn't say it's a must-win. We're going to kick their ass, though. Make sure you put that up there. We're going to kick their ass. They're going to get our best this week. I know last week was tough, the week before that, whatever. This week, Thursday night, prom time, they're going to get the Broncos' best.
Well, to put it mildly, they kicked their ass, didn't they? That was an unbelievable loss for the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, that set them back a long ways.
Well, they stink. And they stink, and they have no discipline. I had Denver last night, folks. So, you know, in the Sun Times, I'm 1-0 already. So I'm on my way again. Now, last week I won my first game, and then you see what happened, my Thursday game. So I'm 2-4-1 after 2 in a row. But I'm going to tell you, this was an easy game for me. This was a picket game for Denver. And I do some investigating. I'm hearing they might get rid of Mike McCoy, who's got 27 wins in the National Football League as a head coach and 37 losses with the San Diego Chargers, if you remember. Had 2 pretty good years and fell off the shelf for whatever reason.
Right.
Then I'm looking that he might get fired.
Mm-hmm.
I go, well, wait a minute. How about the head coach?
Yeah.
He's never going to make it. That guy, I hear nothing but good things to say about him. You want me to read his resume?
Go ahead.
How much criticism did Steve Wilkes take last night?
Not
much.
Yeah, he got a little, but not much. You're right.
Not much. Mm-hmm. Okay. As a coach, 1995 to 96, okay, he was a defensive coordinator. At Johnson C. Smith, whatever that is. Sounds like a baby powder company. Savannah State, 97-98. Illinois State, he goes there in 2000, defensive backs coach.
That's what I heard.
2001, Appalachian State. 2002 is a defensive coordinator, East Tennessee State. 2003 is a defensive backs coach at Bowling Green. 2004, Notre Dame, defensive backs coach. Are you starting to get a pattern here? 2005, Washington University, secondary coach. 2006-2008, Chicago Bears, defensive backs coach. Then he goes to San Diego for 2 years. Then he goes and he finally gets a nice plum assignment from Ron Rivera, gets promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets a head coaching job after he doesn't stay more than 1 year at most places? He's such a great guy. How do you know? You never got a chance to know him.
That's right.
I mean, are you kidding me? This guy was Notre Dame, so-and-so could say, and he was filling out a resume to go to his next place.
That happens in today's world.
Than a year or two with each team. Yet I'm supposed to believe that goof, after what I saw last night, is a better coaching deal than Mike McCoy or anybody else on that team? Come on, man. Come on. This guy's going to bring in Byron Leftwich as his offensive coordinator to get rid of McCoy. And Byron Leftwich will do the same thing I said he'd do as a quarterback.
No.
Nothing.
No, don't bring up that name, Byron Leftwich. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. A disaster in Arizona, and they're blaming the offensive coordinator. Hey, you know what? They didn't know what they were doing. I understand that. On either side of the ball, for the most part. But I will tell you this. The head coach is the problem there. Believe me when I tell you this, folks, because I've seen Mike McCoy's teams coached as a head coach, and I saw this goof last night, period, end of story. No discipline, nonsense.
Well, I'll tell you, if I were to tell you that Case Keenum would have end-of-the-game stats, 14 out of 21, 160 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and then told you, and his team is going to win 45-10. What would you hit me over the head with?
Well, Von Miller, like you said up earlier, Aldo, I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, he fired these guys up from the beginning of the week.
He did.
I mean, he took a leadership role. He took over for Vance Joseph, even though Vance Joseph really laid it out on the line that, you know, there's going to be jobs. There's jobs on the line, including mine.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys don't perk up, and it's not just the coaches that are going to be gone. And all of a sudden, then Von Miller took a leadership role, had a couple sacks last night, played a tremendous game. They had two touchdowns for interception touchdowns. And, you know, it set things off. I mean, it was the easiest game I picked all year. I was up 20. I lost track, 35-3 at half. I mean, my God, the second half, I had to figure out something else to do with my life. I'm just being honest.
This Cardinals team is 0-4 at home. How is that possible?
Because they have a bad organization. They always have. They do spotty things like pick up a Carson Palmer. They moved with, they've had Kurt Warner. I mean, quite frankly, the Arizona Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Chicago Cardinals were more successful at a lot of points of their life, which is the original team,
mm-hmm.
when they played at Comiskey Park, than the Arizona Cardinals are. That's for sure. And I'd like to. Larry Fitzgerald doesn't cry, doesn't say a word. There's some good pros on that team, but this Josh Rosen kid. Here, I'll say this right now. I'd rather have Mitch Trubisky any day of the week. And a lot of other guys, including me, maybe, than that guy. I mean, he made some throws, and the receivers weren't on the same page. I don't know what the hell's going on. They're going to blame McCoy. That's fine. And then you hear a guy like Leftwich, who's the quarterback's coach, wants that job. That's called backstab you, buddy. Backstab you.
Backstab you. I love it.
Oh, backstab you. I was in radio. I know all about backstab you.
That's funny. All right, let's talk a little Bears and Patriots, because that is the game of the week. I think all eyes in the NFL are going to be looking at that game. The Chicago Bears have not lost at home. The New England Patriots are winless on the road. What do you think about that? That stuff just goes out the window, right? We're just looking at matchups and looking at this young team to see whether they're really ready to compete with a Bill Belichick, Tom Brady team, correct?
I think they're ready to compete. I believe they're ready to compete. I think, you know what, the NFL, you're always going to have stinkers. I mean, we're talking about Arizona. Maybe they come back and win next week, although I doubt it, but it's possible. Every team usually, unless you're Cleveland or Tampa Bay back in the day, gets a win. I think that the Bears have heard it. Fangio was upset. They took a beating, no doubt, in the film room. It doesn't come out too often. It's not going to come out. Khalil Mack's got to learn to play more than one half of football. And I'm not being that, I'm not saying that to be derogatory. I love the guy. But the difference between Khalil Mack, and I heard Belichick talk about this, don't compare Lawrence Taylor. Nobody compares Lawrence Taylor. Well, first, let me just say this to Bill Belichick. And I respect you, Coach, no doubt. But anytime you want, I'll sit down and we'll dissect Butkus film and Lawrence Taylor film.
Thank you.
Okay? And then you can open your mouth. But until that point, Dick Butkus is the premier. Lawrence Taylor, they started him at middle linebacker. People don't know this. Butkus told me this. And they moved him because he couldn't play the position. So until that time, please, Mr. Belichick, and I admire you as a head coach, but you're a dope. If you're good, of course you coached him, and he brought you to height, so you're loyal.
Right.
But don't go there.
Right.
With Dick Butkus. Butkus had nothing else. And this guy was perennial All-Pro every year, and he didn't need coke up his nose to do it.
Yeah, LT had quite the...
Can you imagine Butkus with coke?
Jeepers, that would have been...
Why don't you throw that at Belichick? What a dopey thing to say. But anyway, as far as him as a head coach, they're going to be tested this week. And I think Khalil Mack... Here's the thing I'll say about Taylor, Butkus, Nitschke, Wilbur Marshall... and Ray Lewis.
I know why you're saying Wilbur.
And Ray Lewis. They all had motors in the fourth quarter.
Mm.
You couldn't tell what quarter it is. With Khalil Mack, you could tell it's the second half because you don't hear his name most of the time.
Well, I think, you know, that holdout, he missed all of training camp. I think that's still affecting him. He's still not in top-notch physical condition. But, you know, I also heard from a couple of Raiders fans that Khalil Mack does have a tendency of maybe one or two games throughout the season of just completely disappearing. It's like
not a tendency. It's a trend right now. He's a first half, great, great, great first half football player. All the stats for the most part are in the first half. The best linebackers. And by the way, Wilbur Marshall may not be as good as Khalil Mack. I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
What I said is Wilbur Marshall had a better motor.
Mm-hmm.
In the fourth quarter, you couldn't tell it was the fourth quarter. You thought it was the first quarter if you didn't know what time it was. Watching Wilbur Marshall play, watching Butkus play, watching Taylor play, watching Ray Lewis play.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the rare athlete, watching Lawrence Taylor play. Those are the rare athletes. But see, I'd also tell Belichick that Lawrence Taylor in three games never touched the quarterback because Jimbo Colbert kick his ass,
yes,
period.
Yes, yes.
Period.
That is so
I'm
true.
Ready for Belichick if he wants to debate Butkus Taylor any day of the week.
Any day of the week. We've got to catch him during the off season when he's on his boat fishing. The two of you guys talking with the cameras rolling, that would be epic, epic TV. And I just
my
wanna...
goal would be to make him smile or laugh outright.
Yeah, that would be...
I want to hear a gut laugh from him.
You would get
That's what I want. That's my goal.
You would get another Emmy if you did that. You'd get your third Emmy.
I think I could make him gut laugh.
I think so, too.
Can you imagine if you were still in the Cleveland organization?
You got a gut laugh
that
out of me.
That would make him gut laugh.
That is great. Mike, what do you make about that poor tackling in Miami last week by this Bears defense? Are you worried about it, or you think you just kind of attribute it to one bad game, maybe the hot weather or something like that? I'm a little concerned.
If you listen to the advantage, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I mean, I wish we had a cut from what I said last week about this game. Now, I thought the Bears were going to win this game. They didn't. But what I did say was that it would come down to conditioning, keeping them on the field a little bit. I knew the Bears wouldn't be in top physical condition. I'm going to give everybody an analogy because, you know, you love analogies. You love it. Yo, Mike, please, dear Lord, can you give me an analogy tomorrow?
Exactly.
In fact, if there was a, I'd like to be a professor of analogies, but I'm going to help you out with something.
Mm-hmm.
I played 9 holes of golf about a month ago at CAM. Over in Niles, Illinois. 9-hole course.
Mm-hmm.
Played 9 holes. It was 90 degrees. I don't know which day it was. It was hot. After 9 holes, me and my buddies were drained. Now, we're older, but I get that. But I'm never usually that drained. We were drained for 9 holes.
Mm-hmm.
I played golf yesterday on an 18-hole course. It was 50 degrees. 18. I was fresh as a daisy when we were done. That's what heat does to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people don't realize. And then you do irrational things, you make mistakes, you're not thinking clearly, and that's where the conditioning of a football team is so important when elements change, especially when it's warm.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You're like stunned. It's like you're talking to Todd Skilling the way you're stunned with that analogy. But it's true. I'm here to help you.
It's true. It is true. I wrote about that on my website. You clearly did not read my article titled Bears Melt in Miami.
I retweeted it, and I said I'm going to read it later. But you know what? Clearly, if I read your article,
mm-hmm.
clearly you got the idea from the Mike North Advantage last week. So if we're going to play the little clearly game, I will make sure the crowds get out of the way and clear it.
Mike, I have never written anything original in my life. I steal all my ideas.
Okay. I call you King Plagiar, the plagiarist of all.
That is correct. You win.
Oh, well, me too. Hey, everybody steals from everybody.
That is so true.
And then they try to react like it's their own idea, you know?
Exactly. Now, let me ask you, what are your concerns for the Chicago Bears against this New England Patriots? If you had to give me one or two things, this is what worries me about this team, and their battle with the Patriots.
Well, our concerns brought to you by Bet Chicago. Always running free contests, but this week they're offering a special one tied to the Bears game at Miami. If you go the Bears game against New England. If you go perfect 6 for 6, you'll win a share of $10,000. Think of the contest as a 6-leg parlay on steroids. There are 3 coin flips, spread, total, and will there be a missed extra point, and 3 props with multiple possible outcomes. First Bears player to score a touchdown, number of touchdown passes, Mitchell Trubisky will throw in the highest scoring quarter, and all that other good stuff. Bet Chicago, by the way, Vic Salerno, I understand, was testifying, and they're talking about maybe, from what I understood from retweeting the Bet Chicago stuff and reading it, that they're saying it's going to be another year. I predicted 2 more, 3 years, because we're dealing with politicians in Illinois who I rank as some of the stupidest in all of the country. So it's going to be 2 to 3 years, maybe next year, hopefully. And hopefully they'll speed it up because of Bet Chicago, because of the lobbying going on, because of not testifying, but being in front of the board and stuff like that. It's not going to be easy. But, you know, there's already some states doing it, and there's other states that are going to lag behind Illinois. So I don't want to take a slap at my home state, you know. So Bet Chicago's right there. Here's what I think is going to happen with the New England game. You know what I'm not hearing about, Aldo?
What?
I'm not hearing about how the Bear offense is going to go against the Bear defense. You know what I'm reading in the paper? I'm reading all defensive stuff. I'll give you a perfect example. Mm-hmm. And this is why you folks can't miss the Mike North Advantage. These are the nuggets that you won't get. Okay, Mack misses second day of practice by Patrick Finley. You know, Robinson missed too. But then the next page, Brady versus Bear D, Adam Johns. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then the next page, Mark Potash, all in the Sun-Times, break and tackle, not Vic. Let me ask you what's missing there. Where's the offensive stories?
Yeah, exactly.
All I've heard all week is how the Bear D is going to handle New England. And then I look, and I said, you know what? I'm going to give Aldo. Aldo says, Mike, you got to give me more.
Give me more, Mike.
I got to give that inch more. So I said to myself, I looked up the Bears and the Patriots defensively. There's like two, three teams away from each other in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't we hearing what Trubisky's going to do? Why aren't we hearing what Tariq Cohen's going to do? Why aren't we hearing what the Bear offense is going to do? Because everything I've read, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe most of the stuff that you've been, because you do a lot of the production on Bears Barroom, has been about what Brady and the Bear defense is going to do.
Yeah, everybody's afraid of Brady. That's why. I mean, the guy, last time he was at Soldier Field, they walked out with more than 50 points. They crushed the Chicago Bears. Now, that was a Mel Tucker coach defense with players who, you know, I could have beat up on. But, you know, there is this aura about the Tom Brady and that offense. But I totally agree with you. This Mitch Trubisky-led offense, the last time they played at Soldier Field, Draft Dr. Phil and I were there. We witnessed 6 touchdown passes by Trubisky.
Right.
It could happen again against the Patriots defense.
All I'm saying is, okay, I know the Bears, they lost a couple tough games. That we understand. But we would have signed for 3-2 at the beginning of the season. There's no question about it.
Heck yes.
If I would have gone up to Shane, if I would have gone up to Dr. Phil, Bear Girl, Tooch, the Fantasy Guys, Bellissimo, you know, all the guys, John Buffon. Every Aldo.
Yes.
You know, Little Nicky. I love Little Nicky. All those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And said 3-2, they would have taken it. What's puzzling to me is this. You just brought it up. And that's why we're the number one Bears show and number one handicap show in the country.
In the country.
Because whatever I don't cover, I know my wingman has got me covered. Now, He asked a pertinent, Aldo asked a simple and pertinent question or state, made a statement. I was at the game where he threw six touchdown passes, and he played great last week. Yet there's nothing about what the Bears' offense might do to their defense, which is not what it was, no matter who's coaching it. And I think all the writers fell in love and were lazy, like usual. Most of them, not all of them. I don't want to group them all together, just 90% of them. And they went with the same storyline because they don't have imaginations to save their ass. Am I right or wrong?
You're totally, totally, totally right about that. Totally right about
that. Now, are the Bears shows that you produce that cause you fatigue, happiness, anguish, joy,
say fatigue moments,
jocularity. How much really offense of the Bears against defense of the Pats before today was discussed?
I would say probably 10% of the 100% of the stuff we sent out. Yeah, so you're
making a good
point.
Let me tell everybody this. If the Bears are going to win, I think they might win in a shootout.
Wow. Well, we're going to find out
pretty
soon.
Let me ask you something. Does the Bear defense, like last week, that was a 540-yard embarrassment.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
I'm scared. I'm scared what Brady could do.
Don't be scared. Be like me. Don't be scared until something actually happens and hide.
The fearless and brazen Mike North.
Gotta
right?
be brazen and fearless. No matter what. I mean, there's people I know this. Look at Aldo. Look, you and I know this. We've been down this road many times. We know that there's people that are so happy and want so much money with us and can't thank us enough for the 1941 record. Yeah. And then we know that there's other people that last week with that little bump in the road are so happy that that happened.
Oh, yes.
That's what drives us. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps us going, and that's why I'm the number one handicapper in the National Football League. Not because of the people that love me, but for the people that want to see me crash and burn. They've never understood it. That's the fuel I always need. That's the fuel that gets me going. That's the fuel that could take me to the moon without a rocket.
I love you. I love your competitive spirit. Speaking of those picks and of being the best handicapper in the nation, it is that time to hear those picks.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! Let's make some money!
Hold on, buddy. This is the production team put together for me. Thank you, guys. Listen to this. Listen to fireworks. All right, thanks, guys. All right, here we go. Now, I'm going to pick the four games for Bears Barroom.
Okay.
And these same four games are with the Chicago Sun-Times.
Okay.
Next year, I'm going to get Bears Barroom put in there. They couldn't do it because of lack of time. They had asked me at the last minute, and they didn't have enough space. So we'll go BBR or something.
There you go.
Or something like that next year. Or they'll fix it.
We're going to do an ad campaign. We're going to do an ad campaign. BBR is here. Something
BBR,
like that.
Forget about PBR. No. BBR.
There you go.
Here we go.
All right.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give my big top pick out of the four last.
Okay.
Because I'm sort of worried about it already. I have to make these picks on Thursday. So then more information rolls in. There's injuries. And the fact that I'm 19-4-1 and 4-1-1 with my picks and 51-36-6 overall is a miracle. So I'm going to make my picks, and Eldo's going, please,
make a pick.
Dear Lord, before I decide to jump into the empty swimming pool off the diving board, give me a pick. So here we go. First, I'm going with, now the Buccaneers -3 versus the Browns. The Browns went back to being like the Browns last week, sort of, and kind of. But, you know, Tampa Bay, too. I mean, Tampa Bay is, you know, Jameis Winston. Do I trust Jameis Winston?
No.
Do I trust Baker Mayfield? Better. I do.
Okay.
I think that with this game, I don't think what you're seeing. I thought Tampa, if you were going to tell me Tampa Bay was only going to be a 3-point favorite against Cleveland at this point of the year, okay, I would have said, guess what? You're nuts. I think it should be more. But we're seeing the Fitzmagic is gone. Now they had a quarterback controversy. Not controversy. They stopped it. You had one bad game. See you later, Fitzmagic. You know what? We're going to bring in Jameis Winston. Doesn't mean he's not going to get the job done. I just think Baker Mayfield and the Browns see a road opportunity that they could win. So I am taking the Cleveland Browns.
Browns. I circled it. Okay.
Okay. Don't overwork yourself. You can if you want to save some wear and tear on your fingers, underline it. Okay. Here we go. Dolphins -3 versus the Lions. Boy, this is a team. Both teams. If you were going to tell me which team are you the most disappointed in, which two teams? They might say most people might say the Dolphins or the Lions. And then I'd say which team really doesn't surprise you that they're struggling or that they're middle of the road. Some people might say Lions. Some people might say Dolphins. But there's one little problem here, Aldo, that people don't realize. And maybe it's because that inept Jay Cutler is gone from the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. But as I look at my paperwork, and I see the Dolphins are 4-2, and believe me, Brock Osweiler, that's why people are smarting about the Bear defense, because they let a second stringer come in and get the job done.
Right? Absolutely.
So what I'm happy to tell everybody is, what you saw last week with the Dolphins, they're still gloating about. That was maybe their Super Bowl. Okay? Yeah. Even though playing at Miami is tough, no matter if it's the Bears or even New England. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the Detroit Lions.
Whoa.
I think Matthew Stafford is, you know, going to earn that money that he makes. Well, he'll never earn the money that he makes, but he'll try to earn the money that he makes with that game. So I got the Cleveland Browns +3. There's a lot of +3s and -3s this week. I got the Browns +3, and I got the Lions +3. Right. Now, you got those two down?
I circled them and underlined them.
Okay. Now, and then with the big pick, don't circle or underline, because I may tell people just go light on that one. But anyway,
okay.
My next pick, and I look at this, the Falcons -5.5 versus the Giants at Atlanta. All I keep hearing, and I talked to a guy in Atlanta last week, they love Matt Ryan. They don't believe in the coaching staff. They're not a fan of their defense. In fact, that guy was my brother Johnny, who's lived in Atlanta over the last few years and just moved to Dallas. He gave me the report on Dallas, too. He says, though, that they still believe in Matt Ryan. They still believe in what they're doing out there. My deal is, I think, you know, Eli Manning and the Giants, they have to do something this week. I don't think they can win it, but I think they can cover it. The spread is 5.5. So I'm going to take the Giants +5.5. Now, when I say they have to do something, I know that their focus is there. I know their focus is there, but there are calls for the scalp of Pat Shurmur, who's a lot like the guy in Arizona, Wilkes. Should be an assistant coach somewhere. So we'll see what happens with that. I like the Giants to lose by a field goal. Giants, Lions, and Browns. Now, are you ready?
I'm ready for the big one.
Big play.
Oh, yeah.
We're ahead of schedule today.
We are.
Usually you're panicking by this time. Last week you said we had 16 minutes. I looked at the clock right now. I go, hope Aldo has some of his emergency material.
I do.
He's Aldo Gandia, because I'm on a roll. Here is my last one.
Okay.
Jacksonville -5
Uh-oh.
Versus the Texans.
-5.
Now, I'm going to give three quarterbacks I thought would be busts. And believe me, there's more. I just don't have time. I'll give you four.
Okay.
Jamarcus Russell knew he'd be a bust. 1 year wonder at LSU. The guy we were just talking about, Byron Leftwich, at Marshall, who, you know, had the big limping game. They played nobody. He sucked. Blake Bortles is a guy that I've had. Now, he's been somewhat of a surprise sometimes, and he's been exactly what I thought, a disappointment. Oh, and I'll just throw Cutler in because he was supposed to deliver, and he didn't. And I got to take as many shots as I can at him when I'm afforded the opportunity.
I noticed that. About
I'm going to tell you. Oh, I heard he fills the stands. No, I never went to see him. Bortles is one of the quarterbacks I thought. Now, let me just say this. I also thought Cade McDowell would be great. Johnny Manziel would be good. So I've picked my share of clunkers, too.
Apparently. Those guys are awful.
Wow. Talk about getting What was that around your neck, Mike? A rope and a gun at your temple.
That was just
Eldo Gandhi.
Quick little
your name
kick.
Is Eldo Gandhi, after that little remark. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, now, here we go. I'm back to Gandhi. I don't hold a grudge. Anyway, I got the Jaguars as my pick against the Texans, who are on a roll. But here's the problem. I look into Sun Times today. Mm-hmm. I have it as my main pick. Mark Potash has it as one of his top four picks, and so does Mark Silverman. The percentage of all of us when we pick like that is not good. So if you're going to take the Jaguars, and it could come up this way, go light. That's all I'm telling you. Those are the picks. Jaguars, Giants, Browns, and the Lions. What do you think?
I like those picks, although I will tell you the Giants one worries me a little bit. I just, man, after watching them last week, that team looked pathetic. They were like Arizona Cardinals bad, so I hate to lay money on them. But you know what? I promised you that I was going to bet on these four games, and I'm going to bet exactly how you've listed them here.
You know what you should do? I'll tell you what you should do. Okay. What do you want to bet? How much would you bet?
I'm going to bet.
It could be $10, $50, $25. It could be $1,000. It could be. It doesn't matter. $2. It don't matter. I don't care.
25.
Here's what I do.
25 jelly beans.
Okay, 25. I parlay because I'm not confident in the Jaguars pick, but if they do win, I'm not confident in my main pick. Think about that. well, that's because I still go by sometimes the public conception. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks because they're at home, they may jump back. But I had. This is the reading I got. When I lose or win, it's from my system. I put the Jaguars and the Giants as a parlay. For $25, you win $65 if they both hit. And then I would take the Browns and the Lions for $25 each. Okay. And see what happens. And when you're 0-4, I'll be apologetic. But don't worry about it. I don't think that's going to happen. But that's what I would do. Now, you ready for the other picks?
I am ready. I love this part of it. And, of course, you've got the Bears pick, which you probably will save for last to keep us on pins and needles.
Oh, my God. Pins and needles, needles and pins. I know it. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is what Eldo waits for every week. And then he waits. And then he waits. And then he waits. Until Eldo says, if Mike doesn't get this right, I'm going to shoot him out of the bear cannon with no net. The bear room cannon. Okay, here we go. Number one, I have the Chargers minus 6.5 versus the Titans. Let me tell you something. The Chargers, there's still talk of them with the MVP talk and everything else. I do know my good friend Eddie Garcia from Fox Radio and his wife, Karen, are huge San Diego or L.A. Charger fans. The reason that they used to travel to San Diego, and they live in Los Angeles. So they're one of those people that love the Chargers that lives in actually L.A. Now, they can't draw a crowd in L.A. Now they're going to London. How's that work for everybody? Imagine going to London to see the Chargers and the Titans, right? Nobody cares. But... And these have been tricky games for me, but I'm going to take the Titans in this game. Mariota, I guess Vrabel was a genius early in the season. He's not a genius lately. Mariota and these guys got to do better. He's been dinged up. I don't know what his status is for that game. I'll get that for everybody. In fact, it says here, Chargers don't have much of a home field advantage. So they should be comfortable playing in London.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, I agree.
That's not going to happen. I like the Titans in that game. Now, Colts minus 7.5 versus the Bills. The Bill Mafia is in disarray, got injuries. The quarterback situation has been nothing but an absolute mess. Make no mistake about it. If you look at what has happened to the Buffalo Bills, I thought about a year or two ago, maybe I'm wrong, I thought that they were going to be on the right path. Andrew Luck, I'm still waiting for him to unleash a long ball on a consistent basis. There's rumors that his arm isn't fully healed. But you know what? The Bills have the worst passing offense in the league. And now they're going to a guy that I actually almost had a confrontation with at the Super Bowl.
Ooh, who's this?
He had just signed a $40-some million deal with the Cleveland Browns. And his name was Derek Anderson. Mm. And I remember when he signed it, about 2 weeks before I left, I forget what Super Bowl was. Whenever he signed with Cleveland, you can look it up, folks. Check it out. What happens at the Super Bowl is sometimes people you love, like Joe Namath or Joe Montana or Marshall Faulk, come up And Marshall Faulk, I interviewed him as a rookie there. Or something bad happens, like Derek Anderson, who just signed this big deal, and he comes walking into Radio Row. He sat down at our table. I was going to interview him. Jesse Rogers gives me the thing. This is Derek Anderson. I go, holy Christ. You know what I mean? I just beaten it. And I'm one of those guys. I don't talk behind anybody's back. So I said, let me ask you a question. How good do you feel? Because I don't believe you're worth that money. You should have seen the face the guy gave me. He actually thought he was. And then it got a little testy. And I go, I'm not saying. I mean, I'm just telling you what you're going to hear from other people. Well, I'm not hearing that, blah, blah, blah. Well, now you are. Because you weren't worth it.
Yeah, okay? I think he heard it a lot from the opposition, too.
Oh, my God. He was out of his damn mind.
Oh my goodness.
He's quarterbacking. But you know what's sort of funny? It's sort of funny. I think the guy, in a way, when you get one shot, does all right. They're not going to win. They lose by a field goal. Take the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
See what I did there? Everybody thought I was going to go the other way, but they're getting 7.5 points. Now, the Minnesota Vikings -3.5 at the New York Jets. I want to take the Jets so bad. I think Sam Darnold's playing much better. I said it last week that he's protecting the ball better, blah, blah, blah. You know, the same usual BS. But I just think the Vikings, they got a wake-up call. I think Cousins is going to still continue to play better. He's a fiery leader. I'm going to take the Vikings in that one.
What's the spread on that one? Mike, what's
you like that? You got that down?
Mike, what's the spread on that one? I missed that.
The Vikings are -3.5.
-3, and you got the Vikes. Okay, great. Okay.
3.5.
3.5.
But you can put 3 down because I'm taking the Vikings. I'll take it gladly. Take that half point off. Eagles, -4.5 versus the Panthers. Yes, it's important that I give out the point spreads too because it's, you know, this is, some of these games are going to be close. I'm taking the Panthers. I think the Eagles are a lot going to be like the Houston Astros. Let me ask everybody this. Do we really expect the Eagles to win the Super Bowl again? Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. Nobody does. Aldo, do you expect them to win it again?
No.
No. And no, I think the Carolina Panthers right now are a sleeping giant. I love Christian McCaffrey. I thought he should have won a Heisman. They gave it to Leonard Fournette. That's fine. Doesn't matter to me. He's averaging like 130, 140, 150 yards from scrimmage. I'm going to take the Panthers in that football game. That's that outlet guy, that safety valve. You know, a Pinky Gentry, only better. A top pick in the draft that is blossoming now. Seriously, that is absolutely blossoming. Also, the Ravens -2.5 versus the Saints. Let me think about this. Drew Brees on one side, best, really great defense on the other side.
Yep.
I think a lot of people are going to expect it. By the way, New Orleans isn't playing bad either. They're not playing bad either on defense. So, you know what? This was one of my tougher picks, but I am taking the Ravens. I think Flacco got some new weapons, throwing the ball better, still has some clunkers, but this is a premier game for the quarterbacks. This is Joe Flacco, who still takes shots, even though he won the Super Bowl, folks, with that miracle pass. He still takes shots. A lot of people still don't believe in him. You want to believe? If the Ravens win this game, and I mean this sincerely, and I'm not just, you know, I don't blow smoke.
I know you
I
don't.
I absolutely do not blow smoke. Aldo knows. You know what Aldo told me one day? We're by the beer cooler. Well, not really. The water cooler. And he goes, you don't blow smoke. No.
That's what I said.
I don't blow smoke. I don't. Seriously. And you know what? The Ravens have allowed one TD or fewer 4 times this season. Now, that's not going to happen as far as I'm concerned with the Saints. But the Ravens right now, how many people had the Saints at 4-1 and the Ravens 4-2? I think it's a home win, pure and simple. I think they score last and they win the football game. Rams, -9.5 at the 49ers. I'm going to take the 49ers till I win. Because the first time you jump off, you're finished. As soon as you jump off going, I'm never taking this. Wait, like you could go, I'm never taking the Titans again. I've lost 3 straight weeks. And then that night you're watching on TV in a drunken haze listening to how the Titans won 49-7.
They, you know? Those Niners killed me against the Packers, man. I thought for sure they were going to beat Aaron Rodgers. What happened?
No. Oh, man. Well, you know what? And the Green Bay Packers got some issues, though, folks.
Oh, big time.
That's all I'm going to
tell you. Big time. We'll talk about everybody, the Packers soon.
Everybody in that division. Eldo used to do an NFC deal.
Yeah.
NFC North. Everybody in that division, Eldo, would you agree?
Yep, I totally agree. Flaws. Absolutely.
Flaws.
Absolutely.
Big time flaws. It's not like the Bears are the only team with flaws, folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
I mean, they're like me and Eldo. Very few flaws, but they have some flaws. Okay. Redskins minus 1.5 versus the Cowboys. What did I tell everybody at the beginning of the year? I told you. I educate. I'm a professor. They should give me one of them funny-looking caps. I never got one because I never graduated from high school. And then... And in grammar school, they gave it to me begrudgingly because I flunked seventh grade. But I need one of those caps because what did I tell everybody about Dallas? Aldo doesn't remember. He doesn't remember what happened yesterday. The man is beleaguered, and he's worked to death. Anyway, here's what I said. I said Dallas is an 8-8, 7-9, 9-7. They're a look great 1 week, look bad another week. Now, I talked to my brother John. And he lives in Dallas now. Mm-hmm. Here's what he's telling me. Everybody loves Jerry Jones, and I knew that. I love Jerry Jones. I was at a Super Bowl party, not a Super Bowl party. I was at Pat O'Brien's in New Orleans, and Jerry Jones was holding court around the time he hired Bill Parcells. There was like 12 people at his table. I said, Jesse Rogers was with me.
Mm-hmm.
We're three sheets to the wind. I go, Jesse, look who's there. It's Jerry Jones. Jesse goes, yeah, you know. I go, let's go, I'm going to send him a drink. So I send his whole table drinks. You know what that guy does?
No, what?
The place was jammed. He gets up from the table, comes walking towards me and Jesse. Top, you know, jumping over a chair or two, getting crushed, you know, trying to get through.
Uh-huh.
How you guys doing? I'm Jerry Jones. I go, nah, I know, I'm Mike North from The Score in Chicago. And this is my producer, Jesse Rogers. True story. He goes, well, come on by. Come on over my table.
Oh,
sit down
nice.
With me. So we go by the table. He buys everybody around. We have a round. He goes, man, am I hungry. I go, well, they got the hot dog out there. The hot dog. Lucky dogs. Which really are water dogs. They're not, you know, I had a buddy ate one once. He hasn't recovered yet. Forget about the booze in New Orleans. It's lucky dogs, right? Out of the cart.
Yeah, be careful.
Jerry Jones goes, you know what? I'd like to try one of those. Let's go. I go, what about everybody else? He goes, ah, but they're going to be here. Jerry Jones, me, and Jesse Rogers walked out, and there was us on the corner. On the corner in New Orleans on Bourbon Street eating hot dogs together.
Wow, great how guy. Cool is that?
And then, yeah, and then my brother tells me, because I told him, he knows the story anyway. He goes, you were right, they love Jerry Jones. I go, the guy's a regular guy that made it. I said, and he thinks he knows how to be a general manager, which is fine, he doesn't. And that's what's hurt him, too. But he says everybody wants Jason Garrett, or the majority wants Jason Garrett fired.
Hmm.
They want him fired. And you don't hear a whole lot of that coming out of the so-called mainstream media. You've heard about it and the uproar. Well, guess what? It's going to be more extensive this week after the Redskins minus 1.5 beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
And then you're going to hear it again. They're going to lose to their Eastern rivals after that big win that they had last week. Now, here's the one that was really tough.
Okay.
The Chiefs minus 6 versus the Bengals. And you know what? I take into consideration everything. But here's what I really take into consideration. It took New England every ounce of their body at New England, which is usually a safe haven for them, to win against the Chiefs. And Mahomes went completely berserk in the second half. If he doesn't get off to the shaky start in the first half, I believe they win this game. I believe Mahomes and that team, just like Khalil Mack with the Bears has helped the defense,
mm-hmm.
I think in a bigger, much bigger, because the quarterback is the most important player on the team, wait, that's what's happened with Kansas City. I think all their guys, from Hill to everybody else, is playing even better than they would had, you know, because of this kid. So I have the Chiefs knocking off the Bengals. So I had basically the Broncos last night. So I'm 1-0, and now, last but not least, you do not have to remind me. I think what I'll do is I'll give all the, let's tease them a little more.
Okay, let's tease them a little more.
Okay, I'll read my picks.
Okay.
You know, barely see most, you know, just hitting himself in the head. Would you come on, Mike? I want to hear the bear pick. You know what I mean? All the guys in the bar, in the chat room. Okay. Okay, I got the Titans plus 6.5. Right. The Bills plus 7.5. Mm-hmm. The Vikings minus 3.5. The Panther. Hey, I'm Ty Carey. In honor of Harry Carey, I won't pronounce any S's for the rest of this. The Panther plus 4.5. The Brown plus 3. The Jaguar minus 5. Don't underline that, but also put an asterisk. The Lion plus 3. The Raven minus 2.5. Hey, 49er plus 9.5. The Redskin minus 1.5. The Chief minus 6. The Giant plus 5.5. The Giant with Eli Manning. And then the Broncos I had last night, giving 1.5. It ended up being a pick. Now, thank you to the production staff with the horn. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't even have a production staff.
No, it's just
this
me.
Is Bob. Eldo and I are Eddie Murphy in the plane, that movie Life. We take off, and if we crash into the farmhouse, so be it.
That's it.
Okay. That's all. That's the only way we can do this. I'm going to go. Now, the Bears in the Sun Times are minus 3, but by the way, they've already gone down to 2.5. Don't get fooled. I believe most of the money is going to go on New England. I just think it's too hard if you're living in the area outside of Chicago. If you lived in Idaho, if you lived in Montana, if you lived in, I don't know, New York, who you take? You're probably taking New England.
Got to.
But I think Khalil Mack has been hearing the whispers. I want to see him. Look, he's got to pace himself a little bit. I think he blows his engine out. And I think Eldo's right in a little bit of a way, which is a lot of credit I'm giving Eldo. Believe me when I tell you this, folks. I think he's right. Eldo's extremely right on this, seriously, by saying he's not in completely good game shape yet. But wait a minute. You're in shape all year round, supposedly. And this is what, week 7? He's in shape, but I think they're making adjustments. He plays, it's not like you play middle linebacker. What can you do? You run away from him. Sometimes you run at him, send two blockers at him. If you pass, you roll to your left sometimes. You do a lot of play action. I mean, you know what? What he's done is phenomenal. There's no question. But I would rather see a more balanced game, maybe get a turnover, but I do want to see him make a difference in the second half, and that includes the whole Bear defense, which I think you'll see because they're playing here, and this is probably going to be, although, Tom Brady's last game. Now, is Tom Brady going to lose his last game? My deal is I think the Bears upset him. I think the Bears upset him. I think the Bears win this football game. I think that, and if they don't win it, they cover the spread. I got them at 3 right now. I mean, it would be just too easy for me to pluck down. This has happened many times. I don't want to hear that New England needs. New England doesn't really need this game, but they play to win every game. Now, can Smith, can these big, fast linebackers, Trevathan, can these guys play with Gronkowski? That's going to be the key. Plus, our defensive line and our pass rush is third best in the National Football League. Brady can't scramble. Brady can sidestep, though. So what the Bears got to do is stay in their lane, because what Brady's good at is sidestepping Eldo and then running forward. Mm-hmm. And before he gets to the line of scrimmage, throwing a 25-yarder to a wide-open guy because he bought 2 extra seconds.
Mm-hmm. So the Bears are a 3-point underdog at home, and you are taking the Bears to win flat out.
I'm going to take the Bears to win flat out, but if they don't, I'm going to take them to cover. If I lose, that's the way it goes.
I mean, I am so happy
I can't play for him. Eldo, I can't play for him. You know, I had a coach, Tom Less. I was an assistant coach for Notre Dame High School.
Mm-hmm.
I go, Tom, he's a great head coach, coach defense. And this is why defense doesn't win championships anymore, but you can win games against, you know, at certain points. I really believe, and Tom Less used to tell me, this great high school coach, we went from winning 13 games a year to, when he came in, the last 6 years we won 20, based on defense. I said, Tom, you think we're ready? You know what he said? We're ready, but we're not playing. So I think the Bears are ready. Here's another thing we haven't discussed. Nagy has to prove to me, because he went back a little bit to being Ronnie Nagy last week for being cautious. But that's the way to beat that team last week. People are going to see some John Fox football, because I never said John Fox was wrong a lot of the times with an unproven quarterback and other things. The thing that surprised me about Nagy is Trubisky's been on a roll. You got to trust him. Mm-hmm. And that showed a lack of trust. You have Jordan Howard, who, by the way, I'm going to tell everybody this right now, is trade bait. Do you believe Jordan Howard is trade bait?
Yes.
Now, would you have said that before the season?
No.
No. Nobody would have. Jordan Howard's averaging 3.5 yards a game. He's basically been inefficient in the passing game. You know why? Tariq Cohen's taken a lot of this from him.
Mm-hmm.
Tariq Cohen, you need a battering ram to finish off people.
Right.
Jordan Howard is a New England Patriot. Jordan Howard is a guy that needs to be on a contending team.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. I think Tariq Cohen is a poor guy's Sproles, Darren Sproles, one of the great, great all-purpose players of all time. I think that he could become that. I think Nagy sees it. And I think they got more, Aldo, more diversity in calling plays with him in the lineup over Jordan Howard, who's basically will try to throw you a three-yard screen or will run you up the middle.
Wow, if Draft Dr. Phil were here, and he was in the chat room, he had to leave. If he were listening to you now, he would want to call in and debate you
That's
to
fine.
Death on that one, because he loves Jordan Howard so much, I think he wants to marry him.
Well, I'm not saying I'm against him. I'm just telling you what basically is happening right now. With what you're seeing, I'm with, maybe Nagy's using him wrong, but we can't say that, you know what, the bottom line is when you get the opportunities, and we're seeing this too. The guy's a talented runner.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay? He's a talented runner. But maybe Nagy's offense doesn't suit him. I don't know. Because you look at what they have in, they got Hill out there. He's a scat back type of guy, a quick guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Howard's more of a bigger guy. I'm not saying that I would get rid of him or anything like that, but you have to admit it's not what everybody thought he'd be right now, and I'm sure he's a little bit disappointed. He's a team player, but right now averaging 3.5 yards carry, and I know what Phil's going to say, and anybody else that loves him, give him more of a load. Bottom line is they ran three times last week. Remember at the end of the game?
Right. A 19-yarder and then a 15-yarder.
Right.
And then he got like minus two or something like that, or 1 yard or something like that.
Well, no, the last three, they got in the field goal range.
Right.
They didn't throw the football.
Correct.
So exactly. So they're ripping off. So they know when to use these guys. I don't know if Jordan Howard's going to be used enough on this team. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to change once the weather gets cold. It's hard to predict with this new coach.
Well, that's what he's good for. But just remember one thing. If we're at home, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to, and at Lambeau Field, look. Once again, I'm happy we got both guys. I'm just pointing this out.
Yeah, makes sense.
And whether you're married to the guy or not, you got to look at what Nagy wants to do. And doesn't it seem to you that Tariq Cohen's taken a little bit more, which is a fine thing to me, gotten more action under Nagy than for sure he got, which under Fox, and he was a surprise last year.
Without a doubt. I'll tell you one thing real quick. Danny Shimon, who is our scout at the Bears Barroom, he and I do Bears on Tap on Sunday nights. Before the season started, he told me that Matt Nagy loves speed, which is why they got Taylor Gabriel, which is why he's using Tariq Cohen a lot. And he was surprised that the Bears traded for Allen Robinson, because he really isn't that type of Nagy KC type receiver, because they prefer more of a speedster than Allen Robinson.
Yeah, but Allen Robinson was supposed to be a speedster.
Well, and
if you remember, I heard from 2015, but the injury, I tried to tell people on Bears Barroom at the very beginning, if you remember, that Jordy Nelson was more of a deep threat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. Here's what I'm going to tell everybody. You know what Tom Waddle's worth in today's market? $42 million. You know why? Tom Waddle averaged 12.2 yards a catch. Robinson averaging 11.3. He's a possession receiver.
Mm-hmm.
$42 million? you know what? My argument was you could get other receivers cheaper. That's all I said. I'm never going to take anything away from Robinson. He's made some pertinent catches and everything else. All I'm saying is, for $42 million, I think the Bears were looking for that second gear he had in 2015, and it still may come, but that hasn't been the plan. That hasn't happened so far.
Mike, we are approaching the 60-minute mark, and I got to get your thoughts on two topics. The baseball.
I love topics.
The baseball playoffs. The Red Sox are in the World Series, and who do you expect they're going to meet? Is it the Dodgers or the Brewers? The Dodgers lead that National League series 3-2. They can clinch it tonight. What are your thoughts on this baseball stuff that's happening?
Well, when I saw Milwaukee's manager try to win the other night by pulling Miley, the starting pitcher, after the first batter. First of all, I thought of gamblers who took Milwaukee, okay, based on Miley pitching, okay? And then I thought about Craig, I thought about console safety because, I mean, he tried to win. You don't win championships through trickery and deception in baseball. And that's what he tried to do. He had Roberts load up his lineup, with right-handed batters or whatever, and then, you know, he used a different pitcher right after that, and it blew up in his face. Blew up in his face. So I like the Dodgers, and then I like Boston 4-1. I think they'll crush them.
Wow.
Boston won 108 games, and when you beat Houston, pretty good ball club, but they had some injuries this year. Altuve was playing on one leg at the end. Correa played with a bad back. They had some injuries. Plus, there's been nobody to repeat, I think, in 22 years in Major League Baseball because of the playoff format. I don't think the Yankees would have won all their championships in the 50s if they had the same amount of teams and the playoff format. In the old days, you just won with the American League. Damn, you think this is Bear Baseball Room? I love this.
Bear Baseball Room, I love it.
Next. Anybody else knock it down like that? I don't think so.
Let's talk about Bear Basketball Room. What about LeBron wearing that yellow uniform and becoming a Laker? What are your thoughts on LeBron James now going Hollywood?
My real thoughts on this, Eldo, is that he left because he saw what was coming. He once made a statement, if Kyrie Irving wants to win, sort of like, I'll do it in a paraphrase. You know what? Kyrie Irving basically won't ever beat me, okay? He saw the Celtics with Hayward coming back, with Kyrie Irving, with one of the best, if not the best coaches in Boston, Brad Stevens. And then he said, my Cleveland team might not be good enough to beat them, and Kyrie Irving's going to beat me. Why don't I get out of here, go to L.A., do the things I've always wanted to do. Winning's going to be secondary to me. I'm a carpetbagger. I go wherever I can have the best opportunity for myself, and the L.A. fans will be excited, and I can lose because we're rebuilding, even though I won't be there if the Lakers ever win. They will never win a championship with LeBron James. I think, you know what? You'll see he put up 26 points last night. That's fine. They don't have the team around him. And here's another thing they don't have. The juice with him. I put this out on Twitter today, and you can tweet me at North to North, N-O-R-T-H, number 2 N-O-R-T-H. When Will Chamberlain went to the Lakers, when Jabbar went to the Lakers, when Shaq went to the Lakers, I knew, regardless of who was on that team, and they had some good players, don't get me wrong,
sure,
it was defining. Those three guys.
Mm-hmm.
When this guy goes to the Lakers, the only thing it's defining what he's going to do for his career, because they're not winning with the team they got. Now, greatness has fooled me before. I thought Tiger would never win again. Sure, he won with a shortened field of 30, but he won again. So greatness can fool you. But with the Warriors there and other teams, believe me, the West is a meat grinder compared to what the honeymoon he had in the East. So we're going to see what happens. We're going to see how he holds. Is he going to break down? Is he going to take too much responsibility? I guarantee you half the players on the team in 2 years won't even be there. So I just don't feel that the same juice is there. I don't think Lakers fans believe even with LeBron they're ever going to win.
Mike, we're playing two-on-two basketball. You got the first pick of any NBA player in the history of the game. Who are you picking to be your teammate?
Michael Jordan. And I'll tell you why. Because here's the difference between LeBron and Jordan. And I don't know, you know, if LeBron has better. Look, Jordan, if Jordan was going to the Lakers, I think it's fair for both guys. See, I don't believe LeBron's the best player anymore in the world. I don't. People will tell you that. But I think if Durant went to the Lakers instead of LeBron, I think Laker fans would be more excited. That's just me. And Durant's a carpetbagger, too. He went to winning situation. That being said, I take Michael Jordan every single time. And here's one thing you never hear. They have this thing like, don't go there. I heard this on Golic and Winkle. People go there with LeBron. But who actually ever has said LeBron James was better than Michael Jordan? Nobody that I've heard that's worth a damn. You're either drunk or you're, you know, seeking help.
Or both.
How many, and the guys lost seven times in the finals. Michael Jordan never lost 6-0. So that's just the way it goes. It's factual. It's not. We're not making this stuff up, are we?
No.
God, you know what I like? This could be B-ball barroom.
Let's branch out. B-ball barroom, baseball, basketball.
I don't have to brush up. You know what brushing up is? I'm putting a mascara on when you got everything else looking tight. Forget about it.
I love it. All right, we're going to roll that closing music and tell everybody that.
Oh, by the way, who's the guy that goes, this is the Bears barroom, brought to you by Bet Chicago. The guy sounds familiar. And brought to you by Vidoliak Law Group. Bet Chicago.
I did it.
And Vidoliak Law Group. And I'm going to try to make sure nobody knows it's Eldo, even though everybody does.
Caught me.
And then the other guy. Hey, here, welcome to the bed. Some guy you met on downtown. And you had him voice something.
That's right. Right into my iPhone. Hey, can you say this for
welcome
me?
Welcome to the Bears Bar Room by Chicago and with only a club. Nobody knows it's me.
The production values that we have on this show are unbelievable.
Can I tell you something? Nobody does a better job than you. I love being with you. We can have fun. We bust each other's tail. Well, you haven't been able to fully bust it yet because I haven't had a disastrous week yet. No. But believe me, the plane's heading towards the mountain.
No,
I feel
it's
as
not.
Insecure as I've ever felt.
No.
I'm gonna, you know, I have the refrigerator door or the oven door open at all times, so I'm ready to go.
No, you're gonna have a 4-0 week. You're gonna kill it again, and I'm gonna have enough money to make that final payment on my driveway.
Either that, or it's gonna be canceled. I'll see you, everybody. Hey, thanks to Bet Chicago. Thanks to Vidoli Aguagu. Thanks to everybody on the chat room. Thanks to all the folks on Bears Bar Room. All the great shows. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Aldo.
Bye bye.